Okay, we are returning and we are now heading into the second hour of what is normally Ingrid Cassell's program. Her program is called Immunize Wisely, by the way. I've known Ingrid for many, many years. We have both been fighting many of the same battles out there in this world. And she needed the night off and asked me to host her program for her, and that's why I'm here. We've been talking with Paul Schwartz, who has spent 60 days on a ventilator. It left him unable to talk, unable to walk much, a lot of memory loss, a lot of nerve damage. But, you know, God wasn't finished with him, and he wasn't finished with his life. I believe that God spared his life. A lot of people will never last on a ventilator that long, especially if they don't have the family beside them, like his wife, getting angry and fighting for his life as well. He would not have made it if his wife did not stand up and demand that they do things differently. So, Paul, you got, I believe you said that you went by airplane to the rehab, right? You were still on the
ventilator. Helicopter, yes. I was airlifted, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you get out of the hospital. How many days did it take you to actually get out when you knew you could get out?
Basically, after yelling and viciously screaming and using words that most Christians wouldn't even think about using,
right.
My wife did, and threatened him with the lawsuit, he basically agreed to send them back to where he came from. He wouldn't allow him to go to rehab, but he allowed him to go back to Lancaster. And since Lancaster was already on the brinks of a lawsuit because they didn't check me out the way they should have, they pretty much were at our mercy, and whatever we said, they were on a very good behavior. And so the very day that I got into Lancaster or whatever, they took me off of the ventilator and found out that I could breathe on my own.
Wow.
And which they would not even give me that opportunity down in Philly, because they had me right next to the COVID patients, and basically the pharmaceutical industry and the insurance industry and, of course, the medical industry, they're all in cahoots, and as long as the insurance pays for it, they want to keep it. But again, Mary, you had mentioned about the large sums of dollars that they get by COVID deaths, and since I was right next to the COVID patients, they could have collected that reward if I wouldn't have made it.
Oh, for sure.
If it would have
and
died
just so
in the hospital,
you know, they get a 20% bonus for using remdesivir in the ventilators for every patient that dies. It's called the PREP Act. It protects them from all financial liability. Also, just an example of how much money they make per person that dies with COVID. Now, mind you, they could have other comorbidities. They could have heart disease. They could have stroke. They could have been ill with all kinds of things. But if they tested positive with the phony baloney test, they would get this kind of bonus money. In Tennessee, the Tennessee hospitals got $166,000 per COVID dead patient. In Nebraska, the hospitals got $379,000 per dead COVID patient. West Virginia, $479,000 per dead patient with COVID. So there's money in people dying. And then you have to also wonder, are they doing organ harvesting? If young people are dying, are they doing organ harvesting? Did that ever cross your – well, probably not in your case, because you were pretty sick with a bacterial infection, so your body wouldn't qualify, right?
Right.
I remember when I was first doing a lot of research on this whole COVID stuff, and I was on a lot of different internet sites. There was a YouTube that came up. It was a live YouTube, just had happened. A young man was in a car accident in which he rolled his vehicle, but his vehicle ended up back upright. And he wasn't hurt. He wasn't cut. There was no broken glass. His vehicle had dents and stuff, but he was totally 100% fine. No broken bones, nothing. And, of course, people called 911, and before you know it, the emergency vehicles are there. And as he's sitting there, I guess his car window, if they asked him to put his car window down, the EMS got there. And as he's putting his car window down, the EMS driver has this huge hypodermic needle coming at him. And he's like, what are you doing, man? He goes, I'm giving you something to calm you down. And he's like, I don't need nothing. I'm fine. I don't have nothing wrong with me. And the EMS driver jabbed him and injected him. He immediately fell asleep. The next time he woke up, he was airlifted to another area in another part of the state. He was on a ventilator. They had his toe tagged as a John Doe. He woke up, even though they had him on many medications. It had been several days. He woke up. No one was in the room with him. He flipped out. He pulled all the tubes out, pulled out his IVs. He was completely naked. He wrapped a sheet around him. And he walked out to the main desk area. The nurses almost fainted because he was supposedly a COVID patient dying. And he walked up and he went, why am I on a ventilator? Why am I in this hospital? He threw a humongous fit. This is all true. I saw his video right after he did a video right after they kicked him out of the hospital. Excuse me. He ends up finding out that they even though they had his wallet, his contact information and his cell phone in a box in his room, they put him as a John Doe. And at some point, somebody called his family, one of his relatives, at some point while he was under, you know, anesthesia or completely knocked out, and told his family that he had been in a serious car accident, that he had his spleen was broken, and he had broken rib bones and a collarbone. None of that was true. He ends up throwing a humongous fit. The administrator of the hospital comes down. And by the way, this was a small rural hospital. It wasn't like a really big one. He's throwing such a fit. They give him his stuff and they kick him out a back door. They give him clothes to wear and they kicked him out a back door and told him, go on, leave. And when he got out, he immediately did a live video saying, this is what just happened to me, folks. I wonder how many people are having this happen to them. And they end up being organ donors, which is something we have to think about. Pretty scary stuff. So, Paul, you are a walking miracle. You get into rehab. How long were you in rehab?
I was in there for 30 days, and then again, I had to take authority because they only wanted to give me, allow me to walk up and down the hall like 3 days. They said that's all they have, and then I just told them, I said, I'm going to walk with or without you. And, of course, with all the tubes and everything on me, I was liability for me to walk on my own. So I forced them to basically give me the proper therapy that I needed to get well. And it was much to their dismay, you know.
Isn't that something? So even in the rehab, they didn't want you to recover.
Right. They only like I said, like 3 days out of the seven that they're able to help me. You know,
huh? I wonder if it was because they were short-staffed, or because the insurance wouldn't cover more than that.
And again, when insurance companies, you know, they milk it for as long as they can, you know, and as long as
absolutely.
The insurance pays it, you know, it's about the dollar, it's about the money, you know.
It really is. So, what makes this a hard dilemma? Is all of us at some point might need medical care. All of us at some point might be in a crisis and might need emergency care. And it's very difficult to know who to trust. You know, I personally raised my family outside the medical model. My children never had a medical doctor. We never had a pediatrician. We never did the vaccines. We never even had to fill a prescription. We went to the hospital, you know, like walk-in clinic, twice with my son who broke one arm one time, you know, goofing around another time. So twice we had broken bones that were wonderfully put back in place and casted up. But my point is we stayed away from the system because I have never trusted it for years and years and years. I mean, there is a time and a place for it. I had four of my babies born at home with midwives, and I prefer to be home where there aren't super germs and all of this crazy liability issue that you have to consider. And so how do people know when it is safe to go into a hospital? That's one of the most perplexed questions now, because are they still acting like this in the hospitals? I know that we're no longer in the midst of the crisis, but what about the next one that comes around the corner, folks? Who are we going to trust if we end up sick? Any comments, Paul?
Well, you know, it's basically, you know, with broken bones and things like that, like I said, is definitely their place. But like I said, this here was an opportunity for them to sort of, like when you drain the swamp, the alligator's got no place to hide, you know, and I just have a saying that I never pet an alligator, or I never play in the streets, and basically, you just got to use wisdom and discernment, because a lot of people died unnecessarily during this time. But there's still a place and a time where they are legit, and I think the surgeons are good, but some of these doctors and things like that who are motivated by the moral system just isn't there, because the whole system is designed to keep us dumbed down, to keep us in like a mortgage. And keep our health in a way where we depended on them. And mortgage is like a death grip. Mort means death, and gauge means grip. And that whole medical society, through the vaccines and through all the drugs that they put people on, is designed to hold people captive to where we're a victim. And basically, they don't want to let us go. They don't want us to be healthy. They just want us to be a victim in their death grip, is the way I see it.
And that's how I've always seen it. I've always appreciated good emergency room doctors and good orthopedic doctors who can reset bones, and good cardiologists who can start our heart up once if we have a heart attack, and who are, you know, willing to give us another chance. But doctors who do not respect us and do not respect our lives, and like you say, are greedy, they're dangerous. They're dangerous. I have told people for years and years and years, the purpose of the pediatrician is to indoctrinate your children into a lifelong dependency on medical intervention, and that they can be the most dangerous person for your children. Does that mean they're bad people? Maybe not. I don't believe that all pediatricians are bad. I believe that many of them go into the field thinking that they're really, really, really going to help children out. But when you start and you look at the tools in their toolbox and how they work those tools and how they're compensated for those tools, you begin to see that there's a much more sinister philosophy behind it than just taking care of people. I know a medical doctor. I actually was at a conference. We were both speaking. He basically was coming out and telling everybody that he had 8 children of his own. He had, for years and years as a pediatrician, done vaccinations. But he started to notice that his children who were vaccinated were always sick. The ones that come in and get more vaccines, they're sick. And the ones that opted out or didn't comply or didn't do them at all, their children were rarely sick. And so he and his wife began to really look at it deeply, and he was a strong Christian man, and he finally came out and said, you know what, folks, I cannot with good conscience recommend all these vaccines for people. I can't do it because I see they make people sick. And so he went on and he made it non-mandatory to be part of his practice. And he reported in his lecture that the first year that they stopped requiring vaccines and giving them out, they lost $1 million of revenue. He himself lost $1 million of revenue. So when you think about that, our children are being indoctrinated into the system. And as they grow, it just gets worse and worse. And now adults are being treated the same way. And if you don't comply, you know, you're censored or you're disrespected, or like you, Paul, you were treated with indifference because you didn't want the PCR test and you didn't want the jab. And therefore, it led you down this whole nother avenue that could have been avoided if she would have done a simple, couple simple lab tests on you and done a maybe a scope of your throat, a swab of your throat. She might have seen that you had a really serious infection going on there, and it might not have gotten out of control.
Correct.
So, wow. What are your goals with your life, Paul? What, now that you have what I believe is a whole second chance, and God obviously wants you here, was that the only vision you got, or did you have any more spiritual experiences with God while you were going through this ordeal?
Yes. When I got home, basically the house that I built my house on was on a quarry. And so it was on a solid rock. And when I had the basement dug, basically before I laid any block or anything, it was all rock. And it just reminded me of Peter. He says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the strategies of the enemy will not prevail against it. So basically it's not Peter, but it's hit the revelation. When Jesus asked him, who do people say that I am? Some say you're John the Baptist, come back from the dead. Some people say that you're Elijah the prophet, this prophet or that prophet. But who do you say I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's a revelation. And so the revelation that I have is that I stand on him. And he said, greater works shall ye do than I did. So I use him as my foundation, and I want to do greater works and accomplish greater things than what Jesus did but through the body of Christ. And I want to encourage everybody to step up, because when I came home, while I was in the hospital, our roof was leaking, so we got our nephew in to put on a new roof. And I lived there for 40 years, never seen a rat in my life. And I was still on the walker, just could barely walk, and that rat was on the sidewalk as I was coming around the house, and it stood on his back 2 feet and challenged me.
Whoa.
And I had enough strength to put that rat underneath my feet and hold it there until it was graveyard dead. And that's what I plan to do with the enemy, because he told Job that he gave him double. And he gave him double. And I don't want just I don't just want to serve notice on the enemy, but I want restitution. I want him to pay back sevenfold, plus his furniture. And basically, his family got his daughters and everything that he got back double. And,
yes, he did.
And it's the same way with this exposing the enemy with this COVID thing. Us believers need to demand restitution. Not just that they just get away with it. No, they need to pay back, you know. And you had mentioned this gentleman that's in a lawsuit and things like that. They need to pay, you know.
Yes.
They need to pay with vengeance belongs to the Lord, you know. And that's my goal.
I agree with you totally. We cannot just forget about it, folks. We cannot just move on. We have to continue the conversation. We have to continue to expose the evil. The evil. We're going to take another short station break. Paul, can you stick with me a little longer?
Yes.
Are you good? Okay.
Yes,
I don't want to get you too tired. Okay. You've got the strength.
Good.
Awesome. We'll be back in just a moment.
DeSantis is officially in the presidential race. I'm Peter Serafin with another Liberty Minute. DeSantis used to be a pretty cookie-cutter Republican. Since the Wuhan flu pandemic, he seems to have leaned pretty hard into the MAGA conservative camp. I don't know if he actually grew up to be a conservative or if he's just acting like one for political gain. But either way, I have a couple of suggestions for him. Embrace your youth. We the people are tired of octogenarian politicians. If you want to have any chance of winning the primaries, you're going to have to win over a significant number of Trump supporters. And one way might be to promise when you're elected, you'll pardon Trump and put an end to the years of tax-funded investigations. And if you have become more conservative over time, admit that. Make a public statement about your beliefs when you were in the House and how they've changed. I'm not leaning toward any candidate yet. I want all of the candidates to fight for the nomination. And I want the best candidate to win. And if you own firearms, get the most affordable carry insurance on the market and save another 10% by using code LIGHTHOUSE at protectwithbear.com. Find more commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. And until next time, Sivas Pashem, Parabellum.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Well, we are getting down to the bottom of the second hour. I know that we've been talking about a lot of different things here tonight. And, Paul, your story is absolutely amazing. It's a warning call for all of us, but it's also a story of success, that God wanted you here on this earth and allowed you to go through all of this, and now you have a mission. You have a passionate mission. How do you plan on working your mission out, Paul? I'm really curious to know what it is that you can do and are willing to do in order to get your message out.
Well, you know, it's basically like the same thing here. It's not my will, his will, but it's not my timing, his timing. It's they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, mount up with wings like eagles, running not weary, walking not faint. Just teach me, Lord, how to wait. But if I can wait and I'm sent, then when I go out there, I will go out with authority, and he will open up the doors that no man can shut, and he will shut doors that no man can open. So I'm just trusting that this is this timing. And this is like the first time that I was really publicly able to tell my story. And if God is in it, then he will open those doors. But basically, I have seen in a vision like a fire, like a holy fire burning. And this whole fire is burning out of control. And it's something that nobody could stop. But the prophecies and things are conditional, but we have to flame them into fire. And so I'm just basically looking to basically take back what the devil has stolen, and give it back to the people, because as the treasures of the wicked are laid up for the righteous. But we can't bury our head in the sand and basically pretend everything is okay when it's not, you know. And basically people, Mary, when you and I did our seminar, there's people that basically came against me saying, you got to obey the government, you know. And
wow.
my saying, yes, you got to obey the government. But my question is, do I also have to obey the devil, you know? And when we have a constitution of the United States, and people died and laid down their life for the Constitution of America, and they had to fight to give it to us, but we also have to fight to keep it, because when people say, well, it's free, well, basically every time we hand out something for free, somebody else has to work for free in order to make sure that this guy has it for free. So there's nothing really free, you know, and it's more blessed to give than to receive, but you know, we need to pass out a blessing and not a curse, because when you hand, if all we do is just hand people a fish, we feed them for a day, but if we can teach them how to fish and to be warriors and to take back our nation, to take back our country, then we can have freedom and we can give an inheritance to our next generation. It shouldn't be about us anyway. It should be about our children's children.
And we really do
have. You're doing, that's what you're doing, and that's what I want to do.
Well, and we do really have a problem for this next generation. They're going to have quite a mess. And I tell, whenever I have a chance, I'm a senior citizen, and I'm not retired. That we don't have time to retire, folks. If you can get out of your chair, if you can get on the phone, if you can walk around, if you can go to the grocery store, then you can talk to people about what's going on. You can wake them up. You can be a part of the solution.
Yeah.
The way that I see it is that we were remiss. We took all of our freedom for we took advantage of it. We didn't realize that it was slippery, you know, being taken away from us gradually over time. I mean, some of us have known that. Paul, I've known about that for years and years. I watched 9/11 knowing it was a power grab. I knew that, you know, things were being taken from us, but most of the country has been sleeping and remiss because they were not involved in the local civics in their own region. And you know, so basically, I really feel like if you're a senior citizen, join your local precinct. Go to your local meetings. Republican meetings. I was at one this morning. Get to the business meetings. Go to your school boards. Get involved. See what they're teaching these children in these public schools. Help out. Do what you can. You don't have time to retire unless you're ill and you can't get out and do anything. But if you can pick up a phone call, you can keep track of what's going on in the Senate, in the Congress. You can keep track of the bills that they're passing and discussing. You can make those phone calls. We can take our country back. We can. And I also believe that God calls us to get busy and don't sit back in apathy. You know, Jesus went into the synagogue and he flipped over the table. He didn't just sit back and go, oh, well, you know, I have to go with the flow, or I have to listen to my you know, government. I don't want to be a hardhead. He flipped over the money changers. That's what we have to do, folks. We have to start mentally, emotionally, spiritually flipping over the money changers. We will be back in just a moment, and I'm going to open up the phone lines. If you have anything that you'd like to say, any comments, any questions, I will give the number. Get ready. Get the pen and paper. I will give you the phone number, because we're going to open up the phone lines the last half an hour. Thank you.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Tossed it out the window and have taken on the allopathic medical model where there's a drug, a potion, a lotion, and a pill for everything. So we have a whole society of over-medicated, over-drugged people. We have people who are mentally ill everywhere. Of course, you add all of the environmental stuff like the chemtrails and everything that we talk about here on RBN. We have a really, really serious big problem. But the answer is prayer. The answer is being courageous, getting out there, sounding the alarm, and doing what you can within your circle. I can't reach everybody in your circle, but you can. And whatever it is that you feel led to talk to them about, refer them to websites, whatever it is, by all means. We are running out of time, and I believe timing is of God anyway. But my website, again, is childhoodshots.com. And if you have lost somebody during this COVID scandemic, if you have lost somebody, I know that it's got to be painful and it's got to be hard. I understand that we do have a caller. Our call-in number, by the way, is 512-248-8252. And we have Tom in Utah. Welcome to the program, Tom. This is your first call, right? First time calling in.
Hi, Mary. You have to go back to 2002, 3, or 4, or 5. And I think you were also a friend of Elaine Deneman.
I am, and yes, absolutely.
Well, you two ladies came together, were trying to help me with a mother whose children had been taken in Chicago, the Kaufman, or forget her first name. Anyway, I had your phone number, but my phone died with your number in it.
Well, I'll be darned. You've known me a long time there, haven't you?
Yep. In fact, Barbara Lowe Fisher had me come out and speak to her group in the East Coast about that time. I actually went to Washington, D.C. with Mrs. Kaufman trying to get her children out of the system in Chicago.
Wow.
We actually had a sit-down with Senator Barack Obama.
Oh.
That was like talking to a mannequin, you know that.
I'm sure. Yes, I'm sure.
Anyway, I don't want to take any more of your time, but I went through my epiphany. I'd worked on the AMA side of the program in the first 30 years of my life, and then when I ended up on the steel table myself, looking death in the face, when I came through that experience, I became the other side. And, of course, you and I have common, a common view, I should say.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for calling in, Tom. I'm glad that we reconnected after, 20-something years, right? I vaguely remember the case. It's really a shame when DSS gets involved.
Kaufman.
Yes, it's really scary when DSS gets involved with these children's lives. We need to keep them away. We need to keep them away. We have another call. We have Dave.
Well,
Thank you for calling.
Mary?
Yes.
Mary, I was blinded in D.C. when I testified to this poisoning that I'd identified. So would you please go to TomInUtah.com? TomInUtah.com. It'll open up. It'll say Gassing America. That's a case I was drawn into 4 or 5 years after you and I had worked on the Kaufman case. Anyway, my phone number is at the bottom. Call me.
Thank you, Tom, for your call. We now have, I lost it here. I have something in the way. Oh, we've got Dave in New York. Sorry that you live in New York, Dave, but I'm glad you called in. do you have a question, a comment, or a story?
Maybe all three, but my question was, do you know where we can find that information on the amounts the hospitals got paid in these different states? Those are awfully high numbers.
I know they
and,
are.
Yeah.
Yes. I believe so, I got my information over a year and a half ago. I believe it was, I pulled it off the internet. But I think I first heard about it on the Stu Peters show. And I think that they had an expert exposing it. I think I mentioned the name of the person. I will tell you, A.J. D. Priest, D-E-P-R-I-E-S-T, with the Tennessee Liberty Network. Liberty Network. She is the one, or he is the one, who uncovered all of the bribes that were given to all of the schools. By the way, churches took them too. If your church shut down during COVID, and they have more than, I think, 10 employees, they took money. They were paid to shut down. If they are a 501c3 church, they were paid as well. And did the schools. You know, I was really, really actively involved in I live in Charleston, South Carolina area. And I have a megaphone. And I have no problem getting on the corner in front of a school board building and telling people to wake up. We would go in and testify before our school board face-to-face. Of course, they made you wear a mask. It was like falling on deaf ears. No matter how much we implored them to stop making the kids wear a mask, all of it, how dangerous it was, how they weren't safe, how they were causing problems, how they were not saving anything, it didn't matter. And it was afterwards I found out it's because they took the money. They took the bribe.
Yeah.
They had to do it. And so this is unfortunately what's going on.
You see, the reason why I'm asking is because these numbers are awfully high. Now, if I just go out and tell somebody these numbers, they're going to think I'm crazy. And so if I don't check it out and have the, you know, have some reasonable support for it, I should just keep my mouth shut. I don't know what I should do, but, you know, it's the same way with many things. And that one story about the guy who got the needle from, you know, he flipped over his car that you told. Mm-hmm. I heard that. I think I heard it maybe on Rents.com. The guy might have even been on there telling the story. But at that time, it was so outlandish that I wondered if it was real. Now, your guess thing, you know, I believe your guess is telling the truth. I'm not doubting that. But this other guy, it was just hard for me to swallow that. And sometimes things are sent out there to people that are so sensational and they go viral. And then you wonder if there's really support behind it. So I just don't know.
We have to question everything, Dave. I totally agree. But I gave you the resource of where I got it from.
Thank you.
Tennessee Liberty Network. You should be able to look that up. And then I would just make copies of it. And if that's where your passion is, hand it out to people and say, does this make sense? Does this make sense? Okay? But thanks for the call,
Dave. The right people at the right time. We're given the word to give them to. Thanks.
Absolutely. Bye. Thank you for calling. Yeah. Thank you for listening to RBN. And again, if you have a comment or you'd like to call in, the program number is 512-248-8252. So, Paul, I know that we've been on here now for almost 2 hours, and I know that it took you a long time to be able to speak again. You had to work on getting your vocal cords back, but God restored it, right? He healed your body.
Yes.
You're doing great.
Mm-hmm.
I know you walk and talk. I've seen you out there. You and I have been at many, at least two big events in Pennsylvania. And so I know you're doing really, really well. Who do you want to reach and how would you like to reach them? Because if it's anybody out here who's listening, first of all, RBN has tons of hosts who might be interested in getting your program on their show. Tons of them. And if you can, go to RBN Network. I believe it's RBN.com, RBN. Republic Broadcasting Network. Just get on their program and you can see how many different shows they have. And there are talk shows, tons of them. And you might be able to just get on there and let them know that you'd like to tell your story, because I think your story is incredible because you're living to tell it. Thousands of people are not living to tell their story. I personally know people whose grandmothers died alone in hospital rooms where they couldn't talk to them, they couldn't see them, they couldn't hold their hand. And they had people dressed in like outfits that looked like they were on the moon surrounding them. That's how they died, alone, scared. And there was never any closure for these families. And there's so many like that. And, of course, I mentioned Ingrid is going to be talking with the father of Grace Shara, who had Down syndrome, but she got ill, went into the hospital. Somehow or another, the medical staff administered a lethal combination of drugs, which hastened severe hypoxia. Grace's family begged the staff for help over FaceTime. They couldn't be with her. Nurses refused to perform CPR because Grace's physician, all of them unilaterally designated her as do not resuscitate. They have a lawsuit going, and they're going to be talking about this on the 24th. We must support people who are in this position. We have to, you know, if they have a way to fund them, you know, going through this court process is very expensive. We need to fund them, folks. And I know Grace had one of those going on her behalf. Do you plan on suing, Paul? I think you have a true lawsuit here.
No, I do not plan on suing. However, I do plan on, it's like put the devil underneath my feet, drag him through the city, expose him, and put him underneath the feet of Jesus. And, but I do want to expose him, and I do want to let people know that Jesus is getting blamed, God is getting blamed for a lot of things that goes on in this world, and he's not to blame, because it's the enemy, and a lot of people, I just get angry when people tell me that God's in control, God's in control, God's in control. God is in control of our life if we let him, but the devil is in control of this world. And
that's right.
And we need to, and the devil is like an antichrist, and the church, I want the church, and like you're saying, is to wake up, because we're the only ones that have the keys to the kingdom. The church is the only one that has the keys to the kingdom. We're the only ones that can push back this darkness and give life to another generation.
That's right.
And Abraham, as a father of Abraham, if there's 50 righteous, no, I will not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, you know. But these are relationships, and I want people to have a relationship with their living God, and he wants to have a relationship with us. And that's one of the things that I've learned in going through this trial, and that's one of the things that Job has learned, knowing about God or knowing God. And I want people to know God and know that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And the power, all power has been given to him. But we have to step up and basically have God move inside us, Jesus move inside of us, have the Holy Spirit with fire move inside of us. And we cannot just sit back and be asleep or be a couch potato, because our future generations are at stake here, you know?
Yes. So, Paul, how would you say your life has been changed dramatically from before this happened? I mean, I know that you've been a God-fearing man most of your life. I believe you were part of the Mennonite people for many, many years. Maybe you still identify as a Mennonite. I'm not sure, but... And you've been around amazing Amish people. I love the Amish people. I have such a heart for them. And, you know, you did get me in front of many, many thousands of them last year, and it was wonderful. And I'm going to be back there again the end of June. But how has this changed your life in a way that can you just tell us how it's changed your life from before this happened to you?
Yeah, it's basically applying the seven spirits of God, and the seven spirits of God dwelling inside of me that are alive, like a live being, like a heartbeat, and it's basically Isaiah 11:2, and it's wisdom is the mind of Christ, which is our heart, knowledge, which is the word of God, which is like a live heartbeat. And knowledge wisdom, the mind of Christ, knowledge, the word of God, and understanding of God's love and God's mercy, and resurrection power, character and counsel. We have to counsel and character people with the character that we got to disciple people, not just make converts. And then it's also the fear of the Lord, and basically the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom, is because I don't fear the Lord because he's I fear him, because if I do something wrong, he's gonna attack me. I fear him because if I do things that goes against his commandments, and he took the very finger of God, is the only time he ever wrote anything, was the Ten Commandments on the mountain, and let the finger of God write that on my heart. And
right.
And basically fear God, because when I step outside of his covenant, that opens the devil for him to attack me. And I love God, and I want to keep his commandment, because he said, if you love me, you will keep my commandment. So I have his protection, and to finish my race, and this is a marathon, and I got my eye on the finish line, and well done, my good and faithful servant, because our names can be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life, and I don't want that to happen. So I want to be, basically, people want to talk about gifts. I lay down my gifts. I lay down my talents. I lay down my abilities. I lay down my life, Lord, that I may bear fruit. And by their fruits you shall know them, and that's going to be the topic that we're going to have when we get together on the 27th. And basically... that's what we're rewarded for, and that's where we lay treasures up in heaven. And that's how we basically push back the Antichrist and basically hand another generation that they can live in this beautiful country, you know?
Yep, so, and I have 12 grandchildren that are being raised this way.
That's worth fighting
being
for.
Raised. Yeah. Absolutely. And they're being raised by home education or Christian education. They're being taught about God, and we're trying to equip them with all of the spiritual tools that they need to fight their battles. And I believe that God brought them in the world at this time, but we have to do our part to equip our children, right?
Right.
We have to not only protect
absolutely.
Them, we've got to do everything we can to empower them to trust in God and to lean on God, as you stated, the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, understanding the resurrection of Christ and what it did for us. And of course the character and mm-hmm. counsel. And then of course fear.
Counsel, yeah. Yeah.
Fear of the Lord is not the kind that people think. It's not being afraid of him that his wrath is gonna, you know, sure, we might face his wrath if we're unfaithful to him, but it's more of a reverence for him than a fear. That's how I am anyway. I have this reverence of God because of what he's done in my life. So listen, folks, we're running out of time here. We've got a few more minutes. If anybody would like to call in, the number is 512-248-8252. Paul, I really am grateful to hear your story from your own words. Explaining it and just you are a walking miracle. I believe that God has brought you to this place because he wants to get you out there, and people need to hear your story. And in the meantime, I want people to know that if you have children or grandbabies, you have to protect them. You have to raise them in the way that they should go, so when they are old, they will not depart from it. And like I said, there are people in your circle that I will never meet that you can impact and be a light. I have a book called Natural Immune Development, A Deeper Understanding, and I wrote it for young parents. I'm always amazed at how few parents really know how to embrace parenthood. They're more concerned with a career, making money, driving fast cars. We see children that are being raised by daycare centers. They're not being raised by mom and daddy anymore. Mom and daddy are too busy building their net worth, building their big houses, buying their stuff. And this just breaks my heart, because you know what? Children are only small for a very, very short amount of time. That foundation that they need from us as parents is critical. The first 5-6 years of their life, you're imprinting them as to what kind of adult they're going to be. And I know I had 5 of them. And I know some of them come out of the womb a little bit more rebellious than others, or they might be more, I was a complacent child, but I'm number 7 of 11. So I've seen it all as far as how children are different and how they handle the truth. But our job is to do the very best we can before God to raise our children up. And that means speaking truth to them, directing and guiding their path, protecting them from this evil world. I'm just appalled at how many parents sit their kids in front of Disney or in front of a tablet and just let them go crazy on it for hours and hours instead of spending quality time with them. And, you know, this is one of my passionate missions, is to just really show parents how to parent their children. I call it serious parenting. If you're going to have a child, you need to put your own desires aside and know that you are raising a life, you're raising a human being, and you are preparing them for lifehood. And you have got to make them first in your life under your marriage with your husband or your wife. Anyway, I know I sound like I'm preaching right now, but that's been my passionate mission, is to empower parents to raise their children drug-free, healthy, get them away from the public schools that are indoctrinating them, teach them right from wrong. Teach them how to stand up for what they believe. Make your home a place of safety, a place of peace and love and prayer. Pray with your children daily about everything. Last night I was on a night bike parade. I kid you not. I have two grown adult children, grandkids that live near me. Well, they're not grown adults. They're 12 and 14. And we go on night rides with my daughter. Last night we were riding. We have our bikes all lit up with all these colors. And we like riding around after dark just in the subdivision. And my grandson was going down a hill and he hit his front brake first. And he flipped right over the handlebars right in front of me. And the first thing we did was grabbed him, told him, don't move. And we prayed, Lord God, whatever's going on, let it work for your glory. My daughter's a chiropractor, and of course she'll take care of him. But my point is, we stopped and we prayed over his body before he got up, because I watched him flip over his handlebars. Do you know that kid doesn't have a scrape, a bruise, a bump, a lump, nothing? That's the power of prayer. Paul, I want to thank you so much for joining me tonight. And I know it's been a long 2 hours for you. I wish you peace and happiness and joy and a good night's rest, and I'll be seeing you at the end of the month. I want to thank you
so
much for joining me.
All right. God bless.
God bless you too. And folks, I am grateful to be back here. I love radio. I think it's incredible because I can reach people over the airwaves that I can't reach face-to-face at all times, right? I want to thank you so much for listening to RBN and supporting them and their sponsors. I encourage you to go to my website, childhoodshots.com. I've got tons of free articles about how to raise children naturally, how to breastfeed, how to have a beautiful birth process, how to prepare for conception. I've got a video page that I recently added on some of the lectures that they basically took my video page down on YouTube, and I didn't have a lot of them saved, so I have a small handful of lectures and interviews on television. My goal is to get out there and speak. If you are somebody who's going to have a conference, you know somebody having a conference, I can speak on anything and everything related to health and family and children, and even being incredible when you're in your 60s, okay? There's a way that we can do this. My website is full of all that information. You can go see the topics that I speak on. You can communicate with me from my website. More importantly, folks, just get out there and sound the alarm. We all have to do our part to make this a better world. All of us. So I'm going to say goodnight to you tonight. God bless you all, and take care.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.